Elizabeth Chapel, a lifelong entrepreneur who finally found my niche. After years of new ideas and jumping from business to business, I figured out how to turn a craft into a successful career. In 2016, I started a monthly subscription box for quilters. That little startup has grown into a thriving, multiple six-figure business that I am so proud of. As a published author, designer of fabrics and patterns being sold throughout the world, my favorite thing to do is to teach others how to grow a career of their dreams. Each week, you'll hear from me or from other guests who are creative entrepreneurs, so you can learn exactly what to do and what not to do to grow a career that's more rewarding and successful than you ever thought possible. If you're ready to turn your craft into a career that you love, I am so excited you're here. Welcome to the Craft to Career Podcast. Welcome to this fun, for me and hopefully for you, episode of the Craft to Career Podcast. I really loved chatting with Aline McClay of Brave Nouvelle. She is one of the coaching calls. She submitted a review for the podcast and was selected for a coaching call. And I am stunned by the beauty and her work, craftsmanship, all that she's able to do. You'll love hearing from her, but you will definitely have to go and check out her Instagram account or her website so that you can see the beautiful things that Aline is creating. Before we jump in and before you meet Aline, I want to read this brand new review of the podcast. Thank you so much, Vicky of EB Quilts Company, for leaving a review. If you've not left a review of the podcast yet, pause just a moment. It's literally a swipe of the thumb. You can just tap however many stars. And if you have an extra second, you can type a few words of what you're liking about the podcast. So Vicky says, "Dear Elizabeth, I'm only 5 minutes into episode 148 with Sarah Clark and needed to pull over to submit a review. She was able to articulate her why for pursuing her creative career so artfully. Every word resonated. I too have been creative adjacent in my career, longing to find something that fulfills me the way quilting does, and I'm excited about the bright possibilities ahead of me. Thank you, Sarah, for giving these thoughts form for me. And thank you, Elizabeth, for using your platform to empower other creatives to reach these goals. Bravo. Can't wait to hear the rest of what Sarah has to say." So thank you so much, Vicky. I love that you just pulled over. You felt so much like, oh my gosh, that is me. I feel seen. I'm heard. And I love that. So thank you for Sarah for being a guest, for Vicky for leaving that comment. And I just love this. This is my hope for the podcast, that we can connect, feel seen, learn tips. I mean, my biggest hope is that this is a free platform where you can learn how to grow your business. And with that in mind, let's jump in and let me introduce you to Aline McClay of Brave Nouvelle. Aline, welcome to the podcast. For our listeners, can you introduce who you are in this crafting community space?
Oh, hi, Elizabeth. It's so great to be here. I started quilting about 4 or 5 years ago, and I met you through the quilt pattern writing course last fall. And I have some techniques that I just need some advice on and things that I've explored in the quilting world that I haven't really seen other people do.
Which I'm very excited about, by the way. So I'm really glad that you left a review. It was so hard picking like who to have. But I'm really drawn to your designs and the questions that you have about your business. So first of all, our listeners cannot see, but I can see your space. It's beautiful. Is it yarn on the top?
Yeah, actually, I recently redid my whole studio space because of the whole macrame thing. And I had all the macrame cords stored in another room. But I was like, you know, what can I do to make this photo area very memorable? Because on Instagram, you know, people are scrolling so fast. And I follow this girl, Amy Johnson Robertson, I think her name is. And she has like a zebra head on the side of her wall. And I was like, I need something like that. That's very memorable. Plus it was like a good connection, to, you know, the technique that I've been working on. So I told my husband, I need a really long shelf. So it worked out really
good. You have a gift for visual. I mean, me just sitting here looking, I was like, that's the most beautiful space. Aww. You've got this fireplace with a beautiful shelf and a ladder and a plant. And
thank you.
Your quilt. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually a walkout basement. And we moved here 3 years ago after living in a really tiny house for almost 20 years in Omaha. We moved across the river to Iowa. So it's a little bit more country. And yeah, so the whole walkout basement, I told my husband, I was like, this is all mine. And it has a lot of good light, fortunately. So I have a giant cutting table. I mean, it's after being crammed into a teeny tiny room in my old house, it is a dream workspace.
Mm, you'll have to do a little, what's the word I'm looking for? A presentation, walkthrough. Yeah. Share about it. So I would love to hear what your journey has been. So we met through your quilt pattern writing course, but your question was you've done some macrame on your quilting. So kind of give like, what do you do for a career? Where are you now with what you do?
Okay. Well, I was an elementary art teacher for many, many years. And that's kind of where the idea for the string came from, because a lot of my students, you know, I've worked in a lot of like Title I schools, poverty schools, and the kids get very frustrated when you have them just do a lot of drawing. And so, you know, when I was an art major in college and I took all these art education courses, you had to do little projects for different units. So there was a weaving project and there was a, you know, printmaking project. And so in the back of my mind, that was really the only weaving experience I had had. I did have a stint in the 90s when I was in college and me and my friends were sort of like wannabe hippies, like really long hair. And we'd sit in the park and make these friendship bracelets. And I was just obsessed with these knots in these friendship bracelets. And I just think, you know, my mom taught me how to sew and crochet when I was little. That love of fiber has always been there. And I think throughout those years of teaching art, I was like, how can I get the kids more involved in these more tactile projects? And so the last few years that I was an art teacher, I mean, somebody donated like 6 garbage bag fulls of yarn and the kids just went nuts. It was like, I just found all these wire baskets and put all this yarn in all these baskets. And I said, you guys can pick whatever colors you want. And they just thought it was like Christmas morning. And so I used these little cardboard looms and I helped them get started weaving. And like one weaving project would take 6 weeks because I only saw them once a week, each class. But, you know, at the end, you could kind of tell the certain kids that were really into it and they wanted to add fringe on the bottom. And so I would teach them all these techniques that I was basically watching YouTube videos and learning myself. And so it just, that was kind of in my mind for a few years. And then, you know, the macrame world is pretty big the last several years. So I started following all these macrame people on Instagram and I was doing all this macrame and, you know, it was very similar to the knots that I did in friendship bracelets early when I was little, but it was just like, my mind just, I'm a fabric hoarder for sure. But then I started becoming a hoarder of like beautiful yarn and beautiful fiber. And so then I had done a lot of garment sewing. I did some fashion collections. And then I was like, I had quilting in the back of my mind for a long time, but I was like, oh, you know, is that really for me? Is it too precise? Because I'm a perfectionist. So I'm like, you know, if I go into quilting, it's going to drive me crazy if all my points aren't perfect and everything. So but then I finally said, you know what, I'm going to commit to just learning more about quilting. So when I started making small wall hangings, it just seemed like a natural extension to try to figure out how to get this fiber in there. You know, it's like, how can I add fringe to this or how can I add knots to this? And so after quite a bit of experimentation, I kind of have streamlined the process. So yeah, it's like, okay, what am I going to do with this now?
Yeah. Well, and you were saying Well, okay. First of all, I'm looking at the pattern behind you. That's the one that you've released recently,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's a neutral color version of the pattern that I did for your class because I released it a couple months ago. And it was just black and white. But this one, this is kind of part of the question too. This one, I'm going to put my technique on the bottom of it because I know you said in the class, don't put something on the cover quilt that you're not going to teach, you know, how the technique in the pattern. So mm-hmm. on the pattern, it was just the wall hanging and there was no fringe on it. So yeah, so now I'm making one and I'll just probably post and share and hey, I made another version and this time I added my macrame to it. But it's so hard because I don't feel like a quilt is finished to me unless I put something on there. So it's okay, how can I release patterns and not explain this technique? You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Well, and then I'm very curious, how many posts have you posted with the macrame? Because you said people keep asking. So how many posts have you made?
I mean, I really have only gotten serious about it. I've been on Instagram, I think, since like 2014 or 15, but it wasn't something that I focused on. And then, I mean, I've shown like, hey, here's a quilt I did and it has this technique on the bottom. And so I've had, as I've posted more and more and more since the class and, you know, released the pattern and I've gotten some more followers. I mean, I still don't have a ton, but they DM me and they ask me like, oh, I went to your website to see if there was a tutorial or a course or a class or some video content. Like they're asking me. And I was like, originally I wasn't thinking that I would teach people. I mean, I am an educator, so it's like, of course I could teach people. And so then I started thinking about it and I'm like, how would this look?
Ooh, I'm so excited. I love when something legitimately brand new presents itself. Oh my gosh. Like I've never seen this before, this combination. And the fact that you've only posted a couple times about it, right? I don't know, like maybe.
I mean, I'd have to go back because some of them are probably a couple years old. I only got serious about quilting really in 2019. And I joined the Omaha Modern Quilt Guild because I was like, well, maybe these people can teach me things I don't know about quilting. So I only really know, I mean, I've been sewing my whole life, so it's very comfortable for me. And actually quilting is easier than garment sewing because you don't have to fit it to a person's body. It's just flat.
Yep,
so as soon as I got into it, I was like, this is it. I'm in love. I love the freedom that you have. You can do anything you want. And I really didn't make other people's patterns hardly at all. I just started creating designs in my head and doing it on freezer paper or whatever I had to do. So then when I saw your course, I was like, I have to learn how to do this with Illustrator and like be able to produce these because people would ask me, oh, is there a pattern for that? And I would say, no, I just made it up. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited about how these two things can meld together. And if the riches are in the niches or whatever they say, like this is definitely a niche that's untapped. Oh, yeah. I think
it is, which is like, I wish the listeners, I don't even know if you can tell, but my eyes get big. I'm like, And is this like a map of Omaha that you made a quilt?
Yes. Yeah, that was in a gallery show. It was really cool. The International Quilt Museum is in Lincoln and they did a show in conjunction with this super cool, swanky gallery in downtown Omaha called Gallery 1516. And they partnered with the Omaha Modern Quilt Guild. And so when the guild said, oh, we're taking, you know, submissions for this, I'm like, So I think, you know, one of my strengths, according to the Gallup Strengths Finder that I did years ago, was strategic. And so I was like, ooh, what could I do that's going to for sure get me in this show? And I was like, seeing a map of Omaha. And I had done a couple little map quilts before. So, and I got in. So yeah, I posted that. And I mean, everybody was just like, there's even really thick upholstery cord on that map quilt to represent the Missouri River because the river is what separates Iowa and Nebraska. And yeah, I just had so much fun with it. I mean, it was really dicey at the end because I was incorporating all these weird little techniques, but it was just, you know, it's like you're either all in or you're not. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to take a, I'm a risk taker, and it's like, just do it, just have fun with it. So,
oh,
yeah.
I love it.
So when I posted that, people were like, ah, what is this? How can I do it?
Yeah. Well, and even the fact, I love that you're a risk taker and that you're like, let's just go all in. I'm like, sweet. All right, let's go all in. But also these techniques, what all techniques did you use on that quilt? And everything you're talking about, I'm like, I want to learn. And I can see so much potential here with just quilts and macrame, but also whatever other skills you have here, like there's just a really big potential.
Yeah, it's basically an applique quilt. So when I first got into quilting, I think I had all these ideas for like pictorial type quilts. And since the course, I've already designed a few. I haven't released them yet, but I like this idea of you're kind of, it's either a scene, like I'm doing a couple landscape ones now, but obviously the map is aerial. But yeah, so I was like, okay, I don't know much about applique. I don't think I have the patience to sit there and do needle turned applique. So I was like, well, what's a quick and easy way to make applique look really amazing? And it's couching. And so it's to take yarn and you just zigzag it along the edge. I've kind of just like experimented and just thank God for YouTube, because everything I know, I feel like comes from YouTube. But yeah, I think, and working with kids all those years, it's like kids are not, they don't have that same fear that adults have. You know, if you just put something in front of a kid, they're just like, they'll go crazy most of the time. Once they hit that fear mode, because I've taught a couple adult classes on this map applique technique, and there's people who are just literally frozen. They get so scared, and it's like, just try. What's the worst that can happen?
It's, you know, life, right? Yeah, you don't like it,
right?
Oh, well.
Luckily we have seam rippers, we can take the stitches out. So
interesting. So yeah, I love the idea of a course, and I think it's great that you have these standalone quilts. But moving forward, if you're like, no, like you said, I don't feel like it's finished unless it has this thing on it. That can be your signature, like my quilts include this. And and with that comes a course or whatever. I mean, is it macrame that you'd usually do? It sounded like you had a few other things that you might incorporate.
I mean, weaving was what gave me the idea. But if you notice a lot of weavings, they have that fringe on the bottom. And then that's kind of when I started getting into macrame. So it pretty much, it is macrame, but I had, when you do macrame, you have a pole usually, like large scale macrame. So there's a pole and then you put your initial strings on there and then you do your knots or your draping or whatever it is. And so I had to find a way without a pole, how am I going to attach these initial strings to it? So that one, that was when I went through this process of like, okay, the first time I tried it, this looks terrible. It's falling apart. So just working through that and finding out it, like, it's not a super complicated technique, but there's a lot of nuances on how you can make this actually look good and hang straight. And because I'm pretty picky about, like, you know, the edge of the quilts have to be straight. I don't like it when it's hanging on the wall and it's all wonky. So yeah, I guess as I've thought through this in the last couple months, it's that logistics of, okay, what would this even look like? Would this be a lifetime access course like the one you teach? Like, how would I segment it since there's different styles of the knots? You know, it's, you can't teach it all at once because there's different ways.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that I think, I don't know, possibly is, let's go with the quilt that's in the background right now, the really earthy tone, whatever you decide to do on that quilt, I would offer that pattern with, you know, you'd have the separate that you've already released, like the quilt pattern without any fringe, but now you have the new cover and it includes the fringe, macrame, whatever you want to call it, that pattern, the style that you do on that would become the cover quilt, and you would teach that. I would create like a video tutorial that goes with that. And so when they buy that pattern, they get, let's call it macrame. They get the macrame lesson. And then if you make another quilt pattern and use a different style, I'd create another video that goes with that. And let's say down the road you create pattern number 25 and you use the macrame again, you could still go back and offer this number one tutorial and say this, you know, even though this is a different quilt, this style is exactly the same and it applies to this pattern. So you'd have some repeat, you know, video A, B, C, D. And then with patterns, say, because this is on the cover quilt, I'm using this method, you get access to video A. And on this cover quilt, you know, and then as people buy different patterns, they get access to the different lessons. I will say the lifetime access, I'm actually revisiting the terminology there based off of a lawyer that I follow. It's a very complicated terminology and confusing, like lifetime of what? Lifetime of me, lifetime of Kajabi. So I am refreshing that and saying you will have access for at least 3 years or the longevity of I have the course available, but I promise at least 3 years. And that way, legally, it's much more clear and someone can't be like, but you promised lifetime, because that's very ambiguous, you know?
Right. And so that's kind of what I was. Right. That's the logistics of what I was wondering about. It's like, okay, I really don't see myself becoming like a YouTuber and just offering up a bunch of videos saying, here's all these different techniques that I've figured out on how to add to the bottom of a quilt. Like, I wanted it to be more structured than that. And yeah, it's like, how do you retire the course after a while? Or do you, yeah, it's, you know, it's like, how do you even price it? Sometimes it's like being a person who, you know, the way I think is ideation and strategy are kind of big ones for me. But then sometimes the execution is like, it's what trips you up. And it's like, mm-hmm. how am I going to release this? How long is it going to be? How much is it you're going to charge for it? Like, you know, cause like you have Kajabi, but I know like Kajabi and Thinkific, I mean, that's, you had to pay like a monthly fee to have access to that. Mm-hmm. And I just, yeah. It's like, okay, do I really want to have a lifetime access to these platforms for right. the rest of my life?
Exactly. You know? And that was another point that this lawyer made. Like, do you really want to offer lifetime access? Because hello, you're paying Kajabi for life, you know? So
right.
A saying like you have access for minimum 2 years or whatever. There's definitely different platforms you're going to pay for. I mean, I'm trying to think. I have WordPress as well. I think you can do like a login to where people get a login and maybe you don't have to. There's always a fee for something, you know.
But yeah.
Anyhow.
I have my website on Squarespace that I've had for years and I just used it as a portfolio site. And there you can do like a password protected page, but also, I mean, I think there's a pretty small limit in terms of video content of how you, you know, that you can store on there. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I just met with someone earlier and they said they went with, I want to get the name of it right. Alexis Galloway. She's so sweet. So Sweet Academy, SEW. So you can reach out and ask her, but, High Point or Higher Point, she uses that instead of Kajabi and it's a lot cheaper and it's all in one. And she does a bunch of video stuff as well. So okay. I think though, as far as moving forward logistically, and here's the deal. A lot of us creatives, we're very, very good at the creative stuff. We're mm-hmm. not great business owners, you know? And so I don't know what the wiggle room is financially to hire help, but if you can, to the things that you're not good at, if you're like, man, I mean, for me recording, I don't want to overthink it, but for some people that really stops them. So if you hire someone mm-hmm. to record for you, I just, you know, the good old iPhone with a tripod. Yeah. But then if you're like, man, I don't want to get all those videos up on a website, hire someone to do it for you. Just anything that's really tripping you up. If you can hire someone to do it for you. And you can go on Fiverr and find someone who's not going to be an arm and a leg. But I think really figuring out, just making course number one, like, okay, let's teach macrame and break it down into simple bite-sized lessons, and just get that recorded. And then, because also our brains are like moving 10 years down the road and like, exactly. Well, then what? It's like, just make the thing, you know, and yeah. just do one step at a time. And when your brain starts to like, nope, we're just going to do the next thing. And that's it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I currently teach ESL, which I think you used to teach ESL, didn't you?
Yeah.
At some point. Yeah. So when I quit teaching art, I switched over because I liked the idea of teaching small groups and maybe less exhausting than what teaching art was. And I really enjoy it. So, but the cool thing is I do have like 9 weeks over the summer where I can really focus on big projects like this. So last year I was kind of trying to teach myself, you know, surface design and things like that, because I do a lot of dyeing and just different fabric design. But yeah, so I feel like this summer I could totally just, you know, take a deep breath and like try to film maybe one aspect of these techniques. And then, I mean, I don't have a problem. I've hired people on Upwork before, you know, for little technical things that I couldn't figure out. But it's just trying to decide, like, where do I host this and how long should the videos be? Because it's like you're teaching quilters who have skills in a certain area, but they might not be comfortable, you know, maybe they didn't spend the 90s sitting in a park making friendship bracelets. Like maybe they're not that comfortable with the other fiber arts. So, I mean, some of them probably are, but.
Well, and I mean, the good thing is generally speaking, if they're a quilter, their dexterity, you know, they've got good dexterity. Yes. They work with their hands. But I think thinking that in mind, keeping that in mind, like, what would I need to teach first? Oh, how to tie this knot. And I don't know, cause I've not done this, but like breaking it way back and just having them, okay, here's how you do it. Let's try it together. Go ahead and come back and make it on your own and come watch this video and see if it, you know, worked the way that I did. And then move on to the next thing. Okay. Now take it to this. And even if it's just, here's how to tie a knot and create the thing. And then the next lesson would be, or I don't know, whatever you call it, module. Here's how to put it onto the quilt. And you know, you're assuming that these are people who are quilters. You might find people who are macrame who are like, actually, I want to know how to make the quilt, which don't go down that. Send them to someone else's course. You're teaching this one, you know, this is what you're going to do. But, yeah. Anyhow, I think it's a really great idea.
Yeah, just the fact that I got started getting so many questions from people in the quilting community that I follow and they follow me. It's like, okay, I think you've said something in the past, like if there's a group of people like that are already, I can't remember how you worded it, like, it, you know, if there's like a market already there that is showing an interest or something like that. So,
yeah, people are congregating.
Right. Yeah.
And the fact that there's been enough people ask, and I've heard people in the quilting community say, I'm ready for something new and a little different. This is that. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, it's just very exciting. So I would for sure move forward with it. And in fact, let me look at your Instagram here. I would, if I were you, so one of the biggest things then is getting eyes on your project. So, I would do a lot of videos.
I've been doing a side project for the last couple of weeks, which really doesn't have anything to do with this, but I was like, well, you know, I'm making a new pattern, cover for my dress form. And I feel like that kind of sort of ties in, like I shared yesterday, a reel of an old fashioned collection I did because, you know, people are like, wait, I thought you did quilts, but you did garments. And it's like, you know, just trying to share a little bit more about myself and like my background and, you know, like even in my pattern that I just released a couple months ago, I ended up putting little triangle notches on some of the template pieces just because I myself was even getting it mixed up. Which direction does this go? And I have no idea if anybody else in the quilt pattern writing world has ever added notches, but that's something that you see on garment patterns. And so I'm kind of not afraid to, like, that's why the word brave is in my Instagram handle. It's like, I think I grew up really shy and introverted, but like, as I've gotten older, I'm just like, toss caution to the wind, like, do whatever. And, you know, because the reward, you're not going to get a reward if you don't take a risk. So I'm like, okay, well, this is me. This is what I do. This is where I've been. So I haven't shared, that's what I'm kind of wondering too. Like, if I do this course this summer and record, you know, some modules or whatever, as far as marketing that, I think I always wonder, like, how much do you share before you release something? Because I could do like little reels of me, you know, doing some of the fiber work, and just kind of, you know, get that interest going. Cause I did set up an email list, but I mean, it's not very big yet. So trying to find a way to kind of get that interest to grow and then offer it. Cause yes, I just don't, you know, like you were, I think there's a part in the course where you talked about launching, and it's like, you can't just launch something without, you know, getting people excited about it. So.
Yep. And I love that you posted about these dresses and that you made them. They're super cool, by the way. Only suggestion would be at the beginning, maybe show you or do a little video at holding up a quilt or macrame and say, this is what you know me for now, but what did I used to do? And that way it ties into, like, because actually this popped up on my feed and I didn't put it together that it was you. I follow a few different sewing things. So tying that, doing a little intro or a little like, here's me now, here's me then, or something like that, you know, which also is a huge connection. I think that's awesome.
I was listening to Sarah Clark from last week, and she was saying, like, with these grandmother dresses things, she's like, you know, worried that people are getting sick of it. But it's like, we have to remember how fast Instagram goes. And just because I feel like I could do 4 or 5 different reels on here's me and what I used to do, and here's how I'm incorporating some of that knowledge now into quilting. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could do 5, 10 reels and nobody's going to get sick of it because they're probably not even going to see more than a couple seconds of it.
So you could do only that forever and people wouldn't get sick of it. Like, and like Gardneri, who I take her Instagram course, the more I followed her and studied from her, the more I've realized she just has a few topics. And she will repeat over and over and over. And I don't get sick of it. I see it again. I'm like, oh yeah, I should really do that. And now I'm starting a garden because I've seen it, you know? So like, just rinse and repeat.
I think that's what a niche is all about, or a niche, or I say niche because it rhymes with rich, but you know, I think that's what a niche is all about. It's like, of course, I love to do 10 million different things. And you know, when I start pitching my fabric collections, which I want to do in the next couple of years. Yeah, I mean, it's different than what I'm doing now, but somehow I have to find a way to mesh it all together because people do want to follow somebody that they know what to expect.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So,
yep. And so I doing like reels. In fact, if you just showed reels tying macrame forevermore, that would be fine. Yeah. Like you could do that. And showing like attaching it to a quilt. I mean, anything with that, showcasing what is really, really the things that do the best for me and others that I follow are the educational. The more that I've seen it, it's the education. So if you're showing, here's the stitch length that I use, or here's my best tip for picking yarn, whatever, just education, but sprinkle in a few other things to mix it up. But the education really does well. And even your pattern, how have I not bought it yet? Because I can't figure out how to put it together. And then when you mentioned you have those triangles, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. But I still, I want to buy it because I can't figure out, my brain can't wrap around how to make it, you know?
Well, that's why I had to take the course, because I'm like, I can't figure out how to draw this in Illustrator, because I tried to figure it out. So yeah, it was good, because now that I have that skill that I can actually illustrate something on the computer digitally, it's opened up a whole new world for me, because before I was literally taking giant pieces of freezer paper and taping them together and drawing it out with a ruler and then cutting my pieces. So yeah, it's opened up a lot of, but you know, I think like fabric design, macrame, like quilting, quilt pattern writing, all of that is in that same world. So hopefully over time I can mesh it together.
It totally meshes together. But I would think of like, I mean, if you're comfortable with it, I would almost want to go with like the macrame quilter. I mean, not change your name, but like be known as that. Yeah. And so like, Aline McClay, the macrame quilter. So right now it has surface design and modern quilter. Yeah. If you're brave enough to just own it and let people like, have you seen that woman who mixes macrame with quilting? Like be known for that. Go all in real hard for like a year or two. And the more you can grow that recognition and build a following, then doors, then you can do whatever you want. The sky's the limit, you know? And that's what I'm working on this year, is just getting a name known so that then I can do whatever the heck I want, you know?
Right. Yeah, I totally get that. This reminds me of this artist that I followed on Instagram for a super long time, from way back in the days when Etsy first started. Her name's Janine. And she started doing like watercolor birds, and her birds are fantastic, you know, and just amazing. And like over the years, she's branched off. She's done things out of leather. She does pottery, and she has like the birds on the side of the pottery. I mean, she's a master at being good at everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that gives me hope that like, just focus on like the thing that's in front of you right now that people are asking about, and share and share and share, and and then expand. And
it's so unique and so different. Like, put a stake in the ground and claim it. Like, be known, you know, let that be yours. Yeah. And real, I mean, the people who are the biggest in the industry are known for something. This is such a unique something, and it totally opens up. Like, you have such cool quilt, and I'm really excited about these landscape ones. Like, you have other patterns, incorporate this macrame with it. And like, if you want the pattern, it comes with the macrame. You're going to pay a higher price, because it's just a kit and caboodle. Like, you're going to get both, you know? And if they want to make just the pattern, they can, but it's, your patterns come with both, and it includes the course. It includes the macrame and the pattern.
So you don't think it should be like an add-on?
I wouldn't. I've gone through that in my business as well with various things where I'm like, well, maybe I'll split it up and they can just buy this or that. No. That's what you offer. And that's been the best advice when people are like, no, if they want to get A, they have to get A, B, C. Like, you're not a buffet, you know, like you create a product and if they want it, then that's what they get.
I've never done a sew along really, or a quilt along. And I think that could be kind of fun, because if there's somebody who's a little not sure, you know, of how they're going to be able to do this, I feel like if you did a sew along or a quilt along, maybe it would give them that confidence, because everybody would be doing it together. I know that's down the road, but you know,
that's a great idea. Yeah.
I guess I'm just like still unsure about putting all of it with a quilt pattern, because a quilt pattern is so hard. I mean, it was way harder than I thought it was going to be to get that thing polished enough to release. So I don't know. I guess I'll just have to figure that out. Like, if there's a PDF of the quilt pattern and then there's a link to the video content, just figure out where that's going to be hosted at. And
like if I were to do it using Kajabi, and granted you can switch out Kajabi for whatever platform you're using, let me think through this. If I offered, I would have like a QR code, right? That's the thing you scan. I'm using the right word. I'd have a QR code in the pattern that would bring them to the course. And they'd have to create a login, you know, that's unique to them that they use to log in and watch. But that way, when they buy the pattern, it automatically gives them access to, or if it's, if they're getting the PDF, if it's not a paper pattern, it could just be a hyperlink and it brings them to the login.
And then just kind of determine like how long are you going to have access to these videos for?
Right? Yeah. I mean, that is the tricky thing is the pattern is forever. I guess let's just take worst case scenario. You decide that you don't want to pay for a platform anymore and you're done with that. What if you put it on YouTube? Let's just say that those videos were out there for free on YouTube down the road. They'd still have to buy your pattern to make the quilt.
Well, and I know you can do an unlisted video. I did an unlisted one once when I did a little teaching thing for my guild, and I didn't really want to put it out into the world. So I just did unlisted, but I mean, I don't know how people feel about that. Like,
I don't either. Is it like you can find it?
They can get in with that link, but they can't, it's, I don't think it's searchable just from YouTube in general. Like if somebody searched quilt macrame technique, they wouldn't, I don't think it would come up.
Yeah, I would look into that because that's just worst case scenario. I mean, not even worst case. If that works, then hey, why not do that instead of pay for a platform?
Yeah, I think I've heard someone say that they shy away from it because technically you could share that link, I guess. But I don't think most people would do that. But
technically they could share their login. I mean, that's one of my, when people are like, they can, people are either going to be dishonest or they're not, you know? So that's interesting. Yeah. I wonder with YouTube, and I've heard, I haven't looked enough into it, but that you can have like a private YouTube link, but it has a max of like, you can only share it with 500 people and you don't want something that maxes out.
Yeah. I bet there is a limit. I'll have to look into that. So
yeah. And part of me kind of likes the idea of having like a classroom where you can shape their experience and their welcome and have modules and you move from this to this and you can decide if you want to have questions in there. For me, I would not have questions in there because then you're going to be forever having to go and check on the questions.
Right.
But you can decide how that experience would look for them and take
Well, yeah, I like that idea of like you did in your course, you release a module like every week for this amount of time or something. So that's, I think that's why like doing a course can be so overwhelming because there's so many options. And if you're like an idea person like me, you're like, oh, you know, shiny thing over here. So,
I mean, you could though, well, now that you said that, but you could open up like a challenge, a sew along, a macrame along, whatever you want to call it, where people pay and get access for a limited time to come and learn that technique. And then after a month or two, the access ends, or they can pay more to have continued access to it.
I kind of like that idea. Yeah. Cause then you don't have to worry about hosting it forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, this course, everything will be released over like 8 weeks, but you know, after 6 months, it's going to be retired or closed or whatever.
Yeah. So, well, and even, I mean, to start off, to make it really easy, you could just go on Zoom and record the Zoom calls. And in Zoom, you can give an expiration date where you can share the link so people can watch the playback. And you can say you have a month to watch it or however long you want it to be. And that could be a paid thing where they come and pay. And it's like a quilt along where like, we're doing this together. So you're expected to like, you know, do this in a certain amount of time. And you then don't have to prepare these lessons that are all, it's more of a live, like, let me demonstrate with you and ask your questions. It's a much more laid back. The price tag would be lower, but it's a great way for you to try it out. See what kind of questions people have, see what's tripping them up. And like, man, they're not getting this. I really should focus on this. Or like, oh, this was way easy. I don't need to spend a ton of time here, you know?
Yeah. And in live teaching, that always happens. You never expect what people are going to get tripped up on. It's like, wait, that's what you have a problem with? Right. So,
yep.
You know, and then you, because like, especially when I taught art, I had to teach the same lesson 5 times, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, to different classes. Mm-hmm. And so by the time you taught it, like the 3rd or 4th time, you already know what questions are going to come up,
yep.
You know, with that technique. So the other question I had was, I did create an opt-in when I did the email because I was like, okay, whatever I do down the road, I know I'm going to need an email list. So the little opt-in I created before the pattern was released, I just did a really small, it's called like the folded star. And it's just a little teeny tiny wall hanging, and it's a little kind of a cool technique. I mean, I didn't invent it or anything. I just wrote a tutorial for how I do it. And so that's worked pretty well, but it doesn't have anything to do with this macrame thing. So would you suggest doing, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how I would do it on a small scale.
A friendship bracelet. You know, like, so you could teach a knot. Like,
oh yeah. But like maybe do it with macrame string or something so it's bigger. Yeah, that's a good idea. Because I was like, well, how can I do a freebie opt-in without giving all this information away, because I don't really want to do it as a freebie. So I like that, just to get people comfortable. Cause like, and you know, and that's kind of a learning process too. Like all the macrame cord, there's like 3 millimeter, there's 5 millimeter, 7 millimeter, 9 millimeter. And I buy certain sizes for certain purposes. So
kind of, that would be a great, that's a great freebie right there, where that could be a YouTube thing where you have like a PDF download as well, and where you go in and show the different sizes and say, this is why I'd use this one, this is why I'd use this one. Hey, do you want the free PDF download where I share links to get them? It could be to Amazon, and a little reminder of the different sizes or widths or whatever and what they're used for. Click the link below and get that. And then even in your stories, you could say, hey, get my free tutorial. And in order for you to send them to that YouTube video to get the download, they would need to submit their email address. So they could find you either through YouTube or you send them a link to watch the video. But I think that would be
cool. Yeah, I like that. Cool. Yeah. So actually, I mean, friendship bracelet or anything, you know, plant hanger, anything that people use macrame for that maybe the macrame world is familiar with, but maybe quilters aren't as familiar with. So,
Zero familiarity.
Yeah. Even like the worst thing, honestly, about this technique is like the cord curls. And so you'll sit there, I have a cat comb, you know, and I'll comb out the fiber and you want it to hang straight. And then like after a day or two, it'll curl. I mean, I've tried like a hair straightener. And I mean, it's crazy. And so I finally found a way to make it straight. But that's kind of the thing about business, too. It's like, oh, you know, that looks so easy. I don't need to pay her for that knowledge. But it's like, you don't know how many hours I've spent with my little cat comb, you know, trying to comb this stuff straight. So,
which all I can think of right now are some amazing reels of humor where you're showing like, day 5, curling again, like, no, you get the hair straightener. Day 10, no, you know, like, do you want to learn my tip?
I'm a good researcher, and I feel like over the years, it's like, I will go down, dive deep into a rabbit hole, trying to find answers for something. So that knowledge has to be worth something to somebody, you know?
Yes. Well, so, a story that I love, and I may have said this on my podcast, if not, I'll say it now, but Picasso, at the end of his life, he was at a coffee shop drawing on a napkin, and he went to go throw the napkin away, and a woman's like, oh, can I have that? And he was like, for, I don't know, $60,000. She's like, what? That took you a second to draw. And he was like, no, that took me 50 years. And so people take for granted all that went into this, and like, that didn't, it doesn't, you know. Enough said.
Yeah, I love that. Because in my undergrad, we had to take all those art history courses. And, you know, you're looking at these abstract postmodern paintings that are just like 2 blocks of color from Mark Rothko or whatever. And it's like, people are like, oh, well, I could do that. That's so easy. But honestly, abstract painting is like the hardest thing in the world to make it look good. It's really hard. So, like my painting professor, he said, yeah, it takes 25 years to be a painter, to be a good painter. And I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know if I have 25 years to invest right. in being a painter, but yeah. So, yeah. yeah. So I just, yeah. I think I was just kind of at that point at the exact moment you said, hey, does anybody want to apply for a coaching call? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have this burning question. Cause it's, you know, you get all these questions from people and you're like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to, you know, take what I've been doing the last few years and share it in a way that's easily digestible? I still don't know how to price any of this. I mean, I guess it depends on how long the video is and like how much of a demand. I know demand probably trumps all when it comes to pricing. Yeah.
So. I mean, I don't know if it trumps all, but I mean, you know, I've talked about this before. People say like, I'm only going to charge, I don't know, $6,000 for my quilt. I'm like, good luck finding a buyer, you know, like you can charge whatever you want, but are people going to buy it? But then there is also the flip side of that. Like there is a sweet spot where there's enough people who want it. And the price point is that finding, because it's a job for you, you know, like how can you monetize this and get paid for the time and energy, effort, knowledge, and all of that, but also make it accessible to the people who are interested. And, you know, so I don't know, part of me wants to like have you circle back around when you have it created and we can chat about that. Cause I'm thinking if you create, this is, and it could look different, but if you had a standalone pattern, so the one hanging up on the wall that included macrame, and when someone bought that pattern, it just automatically included the video. I would think around like, now don't freak out when you're like, that's it, like $47 for the pattern. But that's because it's, you've created that video once and then it becomes getting enough people to buy it to where you're making that's enough. It's enough for you to earn enough, but also not too much for people are like, I can't quite afford that, but it's so cool and unique that I want to do that, you know?
Right. Yeah. Cause I think in volume you can make up for, you know, the amount of hours or whatever went into it. Yeah. And maybe even like, you know, putting on my research hat again and kind of looking at courses that are out there that might be like similar length.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like I said, it's not a super complicated process, but there are certain things that have made it a lot easier and just work a lot better. It's a lot of little nuanced things. So,
well, and you say it's not complicated, but I still remember one of the first quilt markets I went to, there was a fabric designer and she made a little purse. And I was like, oh, do you have a pattern for this? She's like, no, it's too easy. I wouldn't even feel like good making a pattern for that. And here I was, I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, don't tell me what's of value to me. Like, I don't know how to do that. While it's easy to you, I don't know how to do it, you know? So like, I would pay for that. Like, not saying she needed to, but saying there are people, while it's easy to you, those are the things that are of most value, the things that we're blind to. Cause like, that's so easy, but it's not to someone else, you know?
Well, it was like the map quilt class that I taught a few times to adults. And I was like, you could pretty much figure this out just by looking at it. And they're like, no, we can't.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, and my best selling pattern to date is Better Together and it's half square triangles. I'm like, that's so bizarre. Like you could look at that and make it, but it sells the best. So who am I to say, you know, like,
I know. Yeah.
But then it's funny because I'm thinking if you were to do like a sew along or whatever, a macrame along, I'd probably charge about the same, 47, you know, but I'm thinking this is without me knowing or doing any market research, which I would highly recommend doing. But also that's more of your time. Whereas if you've created that course once it's done and you're not needing to be present and answer questions, where if you're doing something live in person, it's much more, they get you, you know, where if it's a standalone, it comes with a pattern. It's kind of like the pattern, you buy it and it's there and you do that on your own time and you're not involved with it.
Yeah. I kind of like that passive income thing. Cause I started various Etsy shops, like pretty much right after Etsy first came out. This was back when Etsy was really fun. And like, you know, I was sewing things and shipping things and just a bunch of different various things over the years. And I thought it was really cool because I didn't have to go try to be a part of a craft fair. You know, I was like, this is amazing, you know. But now after I've released that pattern and seen like cha-ching, you know, I just sold a digital pattern and I don't have to do a thing.
Like, yep, exactly.
It's awesome.
Yes. Well, and that I think would be the beauty of a macrame, because like I teach Adobe, it's updated every year. Like I have to update that. Yeah. But macrame, it's a skill. It's like teaching a quilting. I mean, I don't know. Right. It doesn't seem like something you would have to, unless you see, oh, people are getting tripped up in this. I might want to redo that video to make it more clear.
Yeah.
I don't see you having to redo it.
Yeah. I think macrame knots originated with like the sailors out at sea and they were really bored and they took ropes and did knots. I think that's how it got popular. But yeah, so I think there's different techniques for different looks. Like, I know that listeners can't see this, but this is a small one that I was able to grab. So this is a totally different look than like the map quilt was with the draping. So I feel mm-hmm. like it wouldn't, I don't think the class would need updating, but it would be different modules or whatever for different styles.
Mm-hmm.
So
I would think a different course. I don't know. There's different ways you could do it. Cause you could just create, you could just sell the pattern. Even now I feel like I'm contradicting myself, but let me think through this. If you were to create a cover and it has type A, you could just say, or you could use type A, B, C, whichever one you want. And you could sell each one individually. So the pattern itself could be what, $15. And then if they want to buy access to the macrame, that's an extra $47 and they could choose which version they want. You know, they want to buy that one, not that one.
That makes sense because like, that's why I was very hesitant on the first quilt, that pattern that I released, to put anything on there because I was like, I'm not ready to teach that technique. I just want to get this quilt pattern out in the world. So mm-hmm. then when I made this version, I'm like, oh, this is all these creams and it would look so good with my cream macrame string. Cause that's how I am. I don't feel like it's done without it. And so, yeah. So what if somebody already bought the Le Cirque pattern, the black and white version, and then I put this on my Instagram, maybe I could just say that like, oh, here's the second version of this pattern that I did. If you want access to this technique, because really it could be any quilt that I'm adding that technique to. It doesn't have to be that one.
So, and that's why I'm thinking it might be a better idea to have it be a standalone, like, oh yeah, you can buy that. This is the course is available right here. If you want that, there you go. And they buy that.
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah. I like that. I think it could be either way too. And then that's the nice thing about being an entrepreneur. You don't have to, you know, you can try ideas and experiment. So I think it's okay. Cause a couple years down the road, after I've learned whatever I'm going to learn from putting this out there, maybe I decide to do, you know, macrame along or whatever. So it's a lot of good paths to go down.
Yeah. Well, very exciting. And I hope that you'll sell at a much higher price point some of your finished ones, because I love it. I don't know that I have the time with all that I'm doing with my business, but like I want one of those in my house desperately. So they're very beautiful.
I decided to put my first quilt pattern on Etsy just because I was a little bit like, I don't know if I want to like learn how to collect sales tax from different countries. Cause I think when you start a Shopify, I think you have to collect and remit sales tax to different places. And I already had my Etsy that had a few wall hangings in it. So I just went ahead and put it there. It's like, yeah, I know Etsy's going to take fees, but in that moment, it just seemed like if I want to move this somewhere else later, I can. And, you know, people are comfortable buying on Etsy. So I think it was the right decision at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love your laissez-faire, you know, just like, it's going to work. It's fine. I can change it if I want. I love that.
Yeah.
So for our listeners who want to find you, where is the best place for them to find you?
Well, my website and my Instagram is Brave Nouvelle. And I used that name for a while just because my name is kind of hard to pronounce and spell. And I just, like I said, Brave has always been just a really special concept to me because just growing up so shy. I mean, it's actually kind of ridiculous to say this, but when Etsy first started, you know how there's like a colorful banner at the top of your Etsy shop? You know, really, I hadn't even been doing email for that long. I knew nothing about graphic design. Canva didn't exist. Pinterest didn't exist. And I wanted to start an Etsy shop so bad because I was like, this is amazing. And I didn't know how to create that banner. And it literally stopped me from making my Etsy shop go live for a few months. I mean, that sounds so ridiculous now, but it's like after that experience, I was like, I am not going to let not knowing something stop me from doing something I want to do. So, because it was crazy. It was like, you know, and then people started making banners and selling them. Sometimes people are quicker on the draw than me on these things. So, yeah, it's like you can sell without a banner, you know? So,
right. But yeah. Hey, there's an opportunity there. So awesome. Yeah. So Brave Nouvelle, and it's Nouvelle, correct?
Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Aline, for being a guest on the podcast. I am so, please do this. Like, please run with this. It's such a cool, unique thing that the world needs. So please do it. Thank you so much for being here.
Okay. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Aline, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. After we wrapped up the recording, I was like, oh my gosh, that was about an hour and it felt like 5 minutes. Like, I just loved chatting with Aline and truly so excited for what she is doing. Please go take a look at her, you know, at her stuff, whether it's her Instagram or her website. And yeah, I hope that this resonated with you listeners. You know, takeaways that are applicable to everyone. Finding a really cool niche, finding an area, especially if people are reaching out to you and asking, hey, what's this thing? What is that? And if it's something that you really love, you know, if people are reaching out and asking and you're like, man, I do not want to talk about that or teach about that or whatever, you don't need to. But if you love something and people are reaching out and asking you about it, lean into that. That is a sign. That's a green flag. Go for it. So Aline, thank you so much. Again, such a pleasure to have you. And for you listeners, if you've not left a review yet, take just a moment to go leave a review. And I will see you right back here next Friday with a brand new episode. Until then, have a great week. Take care.